Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about a subject that maybe we don't want to think about as we are preparing for the holidays, and that is, what do we do if we pay a visit to the doctor and he tells us that he has diagnosed us with a very serious medical condition, such as cancer? According to a new study in the Journal of Health Affairs, those who are more engaged in their health care have better outcomes than those who are passive, and they may even save money too. My guest this evening is Harvard-educated physician, healthcare educator, and patient advocate, Dr. Melissa Clark. Her new book, Excuse Me, Doctor, I've Got What?, helps consumers make educated decisions regarding conventional and alternative healthcare matters, hospitals, insurance, financial options, and self-care strategies under the new Affordable Care Act. It is a pleasure to welcome Dr. Melissa Clark to WDIY. Welcome, Dr. Melissa Clark.
Thank you so much, Ellie. It is a pleasure to be here.
Well, I'm just very interested in your topic because particularly now with the Affordable Health Care Act, and we have to become more responsible about our own health care and become more knowledgeable. How did you become involved in this aspect of helping patients to become more responsible and more participating in their health care?
Well, Ellie, that's an excellent question. It's truly been a journey for me that started off really because my dad was a pharmacist, and that watching him at work and seeing the demand for his services in the rural area where we lived got me really excited about going into healthcare and being a doctor. And I was really positive about medicine and all that it could do until my dad got diagnosed with Parkinson's disease when I was about 2 years into my career. And it really, that whole experience of him being misdiagnosed for a while, him having errors in his care, the medication for Parkinson's worsened another condition that he had, glaucoma, it made me really stop and question the healthcare system and how it treated patients and the options that were available and how those options were explained. And that really started me on a journey to say, wow, if all these things are happening to us, a family that's relatively well-versed in healthcare, what happens to the regular person who doesn't have that background? And ever since then, I have really dedicated my career to working on improving the communications between doctors and patients and empowering patients so that they would be able to take control and better manage their own health care.
Now, when you...
So that's in a nutshell.
Yeah, but there's also other things that you're open to all forms of medical care from east to west. Is that correct?
That is very correct. I have trained and become certified in acupuncture myself, have learned about a lot of other alternative practices. And I'm very much about what does the evidence show helps and where are we in terms of being able to take the best of conventional medical care and the best of what's considered complementary and alternative medicine and combine that so that each person has what I call their own healthcare quilt that's best for them, for their particular situation.
Well, you have a quote here in your book, which I love the title, by the way. Excuse me, doctor, I've got what? and there is a quote here from Richard Dawkins, who says, there is no alternative medicine. There is only medicine that works and medicine that doesn't work. And that sounds like what you've incorporated into your own practice.
That's so true. And the title of the book, Excuse Me, Doctor, I've Got What? is really coming from a place of having heard those words said to myself in almost my 20 years of practice, saying those words to a doctor or being with a loved one at the doctor's office when they've said those words, and realizing that everyone who says those words is really on a journey to reclaim their health. And that quote about alternative medicine, you know, for the person who wants to reclaim their health, they want to know, what are my best options?
Yes.
So it's not conventional versus alternative. It's just, what is the best thing for me right now that will aid me in that journey to reclaim my health? And, you know, a lot of times when patients are diagnosed and they hear something for the first time, it's almost being like dropped in a forest and told to find your way out with no GPS, no map, no compass, no guide. And really that was the impetus for me writing the book, to say, hey, these are the options that are available to you. These are the strategies and the tips that have been road tested and proven for someone who has a diagnosis to take charge of their health and really give them a guide to help them find their way down the road.
Well, maybe you can give us some examples of how do we, most of us, I don't know, I grew up at a time, at least many years ago, I was this way. I'm not this way now, I have to say. But there was a time when I was a very passive patient. I remember many, many, many years ago when I was pregnant with my first child, and I was all into, oh, I wanted to do breastfeeding and I wanted to do natural childbirth. I wanted to do everything. And I said to my doctor, 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 tell me, what can I do to prepare my breast for breastfeeding? And he said, bring your breast. And you know, at that time, I was so in awe of doctors, I would never dream of questioning. I should have fired him, but I said, oh, is that all? And I went on. So, but you're telling people now to be in a different mindset. Tell us how, and give us some examples of what happens, and how do you help a passive patient develop a different mindset?
Absolutely. Well, I think one of the first strategies is people tend to label themselves as their disease. So, you know, I'm a diabetic or I'm a lupus patient. And I often tell people, you know, you are not defined by your disease. You are a person who has this health challenge, and you can have the tools and the strategies to best deal with it. The other thing I say is take a mental health checkup. A lot of times when we get a diagnosis for the first time, it stops us in our tracks. And one of the stages that we go through may be depression. Stop and evaluate. Is depression really putting you in a slump in terms of being able to move forward? And if so, get professional help for that. Not always medication, but sometimes counseling to help you to work through your feelings of sadness that would be natural at that time, because it's shown that people who are depressed with any illness, that illness manifests more severely than if they weren't. So those are just two immediate ways off the top to start to address that mindset.
So what you're saying,
the third is, I'm sorry?
So what you're saying is that you're not a diabetic. You are a person who has
diabetes,
and you need to find out what are the normative ways, what are other ways of dealing with the disease. Now, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life, and this evening I'm interviewing Dr. Melissa Clark, who has written a most compelling book and so readable and so filled with truth. Excuse me, doctor, I've got what? And she has strategies for becoming an active participation in your medical health care. So we were just talking about overcoming the passive patient mindset. And you were saying that sometimes when you get something that is, you know, overwhelming, we become so depressed that maybe we ought to seek some mental health counseling before we go further. Is that what you're saying?
That is absolutely correct. You know, I'm really into what words mean, and so I looked up what the word patient means. What is the root of the word patient? And in the Greek and the Latin, it actually means suffering. And I think that, unfortunately, a lot of us suffer through the experience of being a patient, and it puts us in that patient mindset, in that passive mindset. But I think, you know, one of the keys to being empowered is realizing that really we, and not the doctors or other healthcare professionals, even alternative practitioners, are the ones who hold the key to our own health. And one of the ways I illustrate that is by, you know, asking people, do you consider yourself a creative person? And, you know, 50% of the time people will say, you know, yes or no. And I go on to say, well, actually 100% of people are creative all the time, because as we're talking, our cells are pumping 2 million new blood cells into circulation today. We are creating those cells. Our heart has 60 billion cells, and over the course of the next 7 months, those cells will recreate themselves and create a whole brand new heart. And therefore, the things that we put into our bodies, the way we treat our bodies, even the thoughts we have during that time when that creation is going on, is critical. And so you really are the ones who have the most power over your own bodies and over your own health. And as such, your doctors and your nurses are really just your coaches. You're the one who's the quarterback, who's really the one who has the most control over your own health care.
Well, I think your own health. That sounds very exciting. And what I'm interested, I've never heard it quite expressed that way. But we're going to learn more about how to be a quarterback for our own lifestyle and our own health when we return to take charge of your life and find out how does controlling our lifestyle make a difference? How does creating a complete healthcare team make a difference? When we return to WDIY.
We're gearing up for a short on-air membership drive starting Monday, December 9th. We want to encourage new members to come on board this month. If you've been listening but haven't become a member yet, please consider doing so now. You can help us reach our goal sooner by taking care of your membership today. Log on to WDIY.org and pledge your support. Thank you.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening, we're talking with Dr. Melissa Clark, who has written an extraordinary book called Excuse Me, Doctor, I've Got What? And it's a very impacting book, particularly at this time when we're all involved in understanding the Affordable Health Care Act. And tell us, Dr. Melissa Clark, how does the Affordable Health Care Act impact us in some of the strategies that you're proposing in your book, such as how do we create a complete health care team? How does the Affordable Health Care Act interact with that concept?
Well, I think one thing to realize is that the Affordable Health Care Act, part of its intent is not just to make insurance available to us, but really improve the quality of care that Americans get across the board. And part of that is it actually calls for patients and is trying to create mechanisms for patients to be able to do what's called shared decision-making. Understanding, and that means understanding what the options are that are available to you in order to make an informed decision about your care.
Could you give us an example of that?
Sure. So, for example, if there are many different options for treating knee pain. One option is surgery. One option is weight loss, physical therapy. And each of these modalities is done by a different kind of physician. And the Affordable Health Care Act, for example, might incentivize a hospital or a doctor's office to make sure that the patient knows all the different options available to them before making a decision. Research has shown that patients who are actively involved in their own decision-making, for example, around heart surgery or knee surgery, end up having lower costs and better outcomes because they understand what's going on, they participate in the decision, and they choose a decision that's best for them and that they can stick to in the long run.
You know, it's interesting that you started out with knee problem. I came to a physician many years ago and showed him my x-rays. And I said, well, doctor, what do you think? He said, come back tomorrow. We'll do double knee replacement. And my answer to him was, can you give me another option? And he said, go home, lose 30 pounds, come back, and the procedure will last a lot longer. And what I did was I followed up with my own, and I looked at something called prolotherapy, which is a combination of acupuncture. And I did prolotherapy, acupuncture, and I didn't have double knee surgery.
And that's wonderful.
But it happened to work for me. It doesn't work for everybody. But what you're saying is that each of us has to explore the options that are available, whether they are things that we know about, such as a knee replacement, but also to be able to be aware of all the other options that are available. Now, under the Affordable Care Act, is the team that we get together, are they going to provide us with options that include such things as prolotherapy, acupuncture, et cetera?
Well, not those specific. They're not necessarily incentivized to provide specific treatments like prolotherapy or acupuncture, but letting patients know about their options, I think, is key. So, for example, you said that you showed your doctor the x-rays and he immediately recommended knee surgery, a double knee replacement. Under the Affordable Care Act, he would be reimbursed for explaining to you, taking the time to explain to you all the different options, making sure that you understood those options, and then together you're making a decision about what option was best for you.
But I have a question. Do many physicians do not look upon these other, what you would call alternative methods? They don't look upon it with high regard. They look upon it as, not proven or,
yes.
How do you find a physician who's going to be able to incorporate the best of all possible procedures?
So one of the things that we go through in Excuse Me, Doctor, I've Got What, is all the different kinds of physicians that exist. And there's one type of physician that's emerging, and there's actually an association for them, and they're called integrative physicians. Integrative physicians are either MDs or DOs who have taken extra training in what we might consider alternative medicine, and they combine conventional and alternative medicine. And for those people for whom that is important, it's good to look for one of those physicians in your area so that you can benefit from that approach, if that's an approach that's important to you. Other doctors who might not be integrative medicine physicians, I talk about how to interview a doctor and the questions to ask them to see if your priorities align with their priorities and the kind of care that they're used to getting, and not to settle for a provider that is not a good fit for you.
Now, give us an example of some questions that we might use to interview a practitioner.
Sure. Well, one thing is just having the concept of an interview. That's a start. A lot of people don't think of going to a doctor and being in the mindset of, this person is somebody I'm employing to work for me, and therefore it should reflect my values and what I think is important. One thing is to ask them, how have you taken care of a patient with my condition in the past, for example? Ask them, explain to them what your priorities are, and maybe ask them to repeat it back to you. That way you can gauge their listening and their understanding skills. Those are just two examples of a whole list of potential questions that you can ask, and also things that you should consider in terms of location, convenience, online access to your medical records, and things that make it easier for you as a patient to interact with your doctor in the long term.
You know, one thing I discovered about your book, it means that we as patients have to take on responsibility for getting the care that we want.
This is so true.
That, you know, yet very often we come to physicians with a dependent notion. You're the expert doctor. Tell me what to do. Tell me how to do it. And we sometimes give up our independence and our thinking for ourselves and listening to our inner being for what we feel and want for our own best interest.
That's so true, Ellie. And there's so many other areas in our life in which we are willing to be proactive, but when it comes to healthcare, we leave our that impulse to be proactive on the doorstep. So in our social life or our financial life, all these other areas of our life where we are expected to be responsible and take the initiative, we do that, but for some reason, healthcare, I call it, is the last frontier for responsibility. And we're now realizing that in that area of our life, if we are proactive, not only do we have better outcomes, the research shows, but we have lower costs, and we're more satisfied overall with our care.
Well, you just mentioned a lower cost. How do we understand the financial side of our treatment? How do we make it? How do we? Very often, if we want something if we need something in our lives, a particular treatment, sometimes the costs are prohibitive. How do we manage that? And because I don't understand how we can take charge of the financial side of your treatment. I can understand developing a rapport and being more responsible and taking a proactive, but tell us about the financial part.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's a great place to also bring in the Affordable Care Act, since so many Americans now, 22 million to be exact, are without health insurance and now have the opportunity to get health insurance. That's one place where it starts, because by having insurance, that increases your access to affordable care, and it protects you in the long run from medical care costs that can be catastrophic to your financial health. So I would say first, get health insurance if you're eligible. And if the website is a barrier, which it has been thus far, there are 1-800 numbers that you can call to have a navigator walk you through that process. And as you evaluate insurance, think about your own health status. Are you somebody who has an ongoing health problem that requires a lots of trips to the doctor and lots of specialists? Then you want an insurance plan that offers you the greatest flexibility of choice with doctors, and you might have to pay a higher premium, but there are more shared costs with the insurance company down the line, more costs that the insurance will pick up as you pay a higher premium. If you're a pretty healthy person, maybe a younger person who only uses the healthcare system for checkups, or if you have an occasional sprained ankle, then you might want to pay a lower premium up front and then have more of your costs out of pocket, because you're going to not have a whole lot of costs out of pocket during the year.
Thank you, Dr. Melissa Clark, author of Excuse Me, Doctor, I've Got What?, for helping us to understand that when patients are diagnosed with a serious condition such as cancer, we often become paralyzed with fear and don't know what to do next. We need to take charge of our lives and take action. Tell us, Dr. Melissa Clark, how can we get in touch with you, and how can we find the book?
Absolutely, Ellie. You can follow me on Facebook at Dr. Melissa Clark, Clark has an E, or on Twitter, where I provide daily tips for being health empowered. And you can pick up my book, Excuse Me, Doctor, I've Got What, at the website, Excuse Me, Doctor, that's doctor spelled out, .com, or on Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.